magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up, and welcome to the Touch Arcade Show, episode number 442. Apologies for not having a show last week. I had a work-related injury. I hurt myself working from home, lying down. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Happens to the best of us.
It does happen to the best of us. That is definitely tops my list of like dumbest ways to hurt yourself.
I have a work-from-home injury. I don't know if you can see that. I burnt the shit out of my arm.
Burnt it on what?
A pan? I was making two loaves of bread and had like, I was trying to rotate them in the oven. So get like even browning on both of them and had like the one out while I was holding the other one and just like completely seared my arm.
That's always fun.
Yeah. It was super hot. It was like so hot that I like, smelled like burning flesh. I was like, oh, that's cool. it's cool. Like a weirdly deep burn too. Like I think it's gonna leave a cool scar, which like my quarantine scar.
The sad thing is like we've both worked from home for like 10 years.
I've been working and, forever.
So it's like not like new for us. Like I can see other people being like, oh, I've been working from home and like this weird thing happened because I'm home now, but for me it's just like this is normal anyway, so I probably shouldn't be hurting myself working from home. But
yeah,
what are you gonna do?
Yeah, for me, it's like it's like business as usual. We basically stopped going to restaurants, which we've been talking about doing anyway to save money. So,
oh man, the money we've been saving on not eating out is pretty significant. Although we did drop some serious coin, we did a big Costco and grocery store run on Friday. One of those days. And no, it is Friday. I don't remember. This week sometime. But that's the other thing. Is like I'm used to working from home, but still the days are bleeding together worse now for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't know.
Whatever day it was, we did big shopping thing. And I actually did. You've probably seen that video that went pretty viral of like the doctor showing how to like safely shop and like, you know, disinfect your stuff when you bring it back from the store or whatever. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Yeah, we haven't been going too crazy on that kind of stuff just because it's like, I don't know, I'm being cautious, but not.
I probably wouldn't have bothered until I watched the video and then I was like, well, now I feel like I have to do this. But it's a crazy process, especially when you buy a bajillion things like we just did.
So what's the TLDR for people who haven't seen said video?
More or less, you get like your countertop or your island, or in our case, we used our outside, our outdoor like table and chair set or whatever, and divide it in half. And then one side acts as your quote unquote dirty side, and the other side is like the clean side. And you just disinfect the surface down or whatever. And then the stuff you bring home from the store, you drop on the dirty side, and then you go through it and you either clean it or unpackage it as you can and then put it onto the clean side. So that you know it hasn't touched anything that might have the virus on it. And it makes a lot of sense, and it works. It's surprising, too, because you start to notice how many things have so much unnecessary packaging on them.
Like, oh, yeah.
You buy a box of cereal, and it's like, okay, well, instead of, like, wiping down the box, you just open the box, dump the bag of cereal out onto the clean side, and throw the box out right away. And then you know that thing is safe because nobody's been handling the inside bag or whatever, you know, that you know of. And or like bread is always like double bagged, double wrapped weird or something like that, too. So a lot of it was just doing that, like just getting rid of unnecessary outside packaging. And then some other stuff I just wiped down with some wipes, and I don't know if it makes a difference. And then they suggest if you can leave stuff outside for a few days, do that. So we had like some canned food things that we bought that we just left outside because I guess that works too. But there's definitely a point when this started to become like an all-day process, when you're out there for like 2 hours like wiping down groceries and stuff, you start to feel like this is going overboard, or is this necessary, or what the hell is wrong with me that I'm doing this? But I don't know. I guess it can't be bad to be extra safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The crazy thing about this whole thing is, like, you don't know, like, what's actually overboard, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, you're not really going to hurt anything by being too safe, wiping down things too much, washing your hands too much. You know what I mean? It's not like, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it could perhaps be unnecessary. So, whatever. I don't really care, though. I'd rather go overboard than underboard. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's like we bought some of the fabric masks, you know, that we're wearing to the store. I mean, we don't go out very often. We've gone out like maybe once a week, if that.
Yeah.
And we're like the fucking weirdos wearing masks at our stores here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. It's frustrating.
Yeah. The only thing I really do is I walk the dog every day, which has actually turned out to become a really nice ritual because I don't exercise enough as is. I started getting really into like trying to walk further than I did the day before, right? And so, like, for instance, yesterday I went on a walk for over 3 miles, and I was like, that's pretty good. That's like a good hour plus walk. And so it's nice to get out, get some fresh air. The dog likes it because he's walking super regularly now. And he usually goes, my wife usually takes him on a walk during the day, and then I go in like the evening. And, but so, like, that's like a nice thing that's come out of all this is, like, even when things go back to normal or whatever, I'm not going to want to stop taking them on those walks. And I'm so used to it now that I'd feel weird if I, like, skipped one or, you know, didn't go on one or whatever. And eventually I'm going to be like walking 20 miles a day. I'll just wake up and start walking and then come home when it's bedtime.
You're like the walking version of Forrest Gump.
Yeah, exactly. maybe I'll upgrade to running. I don't know. But so that's been nice. That's kind of my only thing keeping me sane, is being able to go outdoors and just have some alone time with the doggy and get outside. It's nice.
Yeah. What's been kind of nice about all this for me is that, like, all my friends I used to play computer games with that all, like, got busy with, you know, jobs and family and shit like that, now have nothing to do and just
want to play computer games. Yeah, that's right.
So you play a lot of, like, Sea of Thieves, which is that pirate game on Xbox Game Pass, which is pretty cool. I also got the Final Fantasy VII remake on the PS4.
How do you like it?
Do you have a PS4 or just an Xbox?
It's what?
You don't have a PS4, right?
I do not, no.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. It's neat, but it's kind of disappointing that it's just like going to be like a episodic game, I guess.
Yeah.
Because like not many people remember exactly when this happened, but I looked it up and it's 2005 was when they first like teased this concept with the launch of the fucking PS3.
Yeah, I remember.
So, it's been very charming seeing friends of mine that haven't been following the game industry forever be like, oh man, just, you know, finish Final Fantasy VII remake, love it, can't wait for the next one to come out soon.
Like, oh, on the PS7.
Oh boy, you'll be playing the next one with your grandchild. Don't think it's coming out anytime soon. I mean, I'd love it if it came out soon, but I just like, it seems so unrealistic to me, but who knows? I mean, like, I don't know how many episodes is actually going to be, but if they're going to sell each for $60,
right?
Like, this is going to end up being like a $300 fucking game when it's all said and done, you know?
Well, is it how many episodes is it? Cause I thought it was just part one, part two.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't follow that stuff very much, but even if it's just part one and part two, it's say $120. Yeah. Final Fantasy game, you know?
Yeah. Well, I will say in things like that, and I remember when they announced that, they didn't even announce it as a real thing. It was a tech demo sort of thing. And then everyone was like, no, you should actually make that. We want that. And so I don't know how long this actual product that did end up launching has been in the works, although I imagine it's many years. But a lot of times with things like this too is like, you get a lot of the dumb stuff out of the way to where you have the engine running, the game framework up and blah blah blah, and then just adding to it doesn't take quite as long, and so maybe the next part won't take as long.
It wouldn't surprise me if this is just like a almost like a copy and paste of the Final Fantasy 15, because the battle system is exact, like one-to-one of the last game and stuff, and controls are the same and everything else, which honestly is kind of like the only thing that I don't like about it. Because have you played Octopath Traveler on the Switch at all?
No, I
That's
played the demo.
really good. Like, if anyone's into kind of like the classic Square RPGs, Octopath Traveler is a strong recommendation. Because it's like I don't know, like the best way to describe it is like a modern retro game. It's like a game that is retro, but the way that you remember it, which is better than the game actually was, you know? So, Octopath Traveler just has this like really cool kind of like weapons and weakness based battle system that like almost makes boss or I'm sorry, combat kind of like a puzzle in a way. And it's like, all right, well, let's figure out what this guy's weak to. Oh, okay, cool. He's weak to axes. All right, let's like break his armor with our axe. All right, cool. Everyone go nuts now, kind of thing, which I don't know. I think it's really fun because like, it makes you feel like you have like this weird sense of like combat expertise because like when you come across an enemy next time, it's like, oh, I remember this guy. Okay, he's weak to axes, like, and it makes it easier to kill him, you know, without necessarily like leveling up your guys or anything like that. Which, and it's all turn-based and stuff, which I like way more than kind of like the action sort of like real-time beat 'em up sort of battler thing. And so Final Fantasy VII Remake has what they call a classic mode. But all that does is like handle your character movement for you automatically. So it's like you're just kind of like selecting an ability every now and again, and it like does everything else kind of like extremely shittily, which is weird. So it just feels like something that they added in at the last minute because like a lot of like game testers or early feedback must have been like, why does this have the Final Fantasy 15 battle system? This is dumb. Because like so much of that, like you know the you played Final Fantasy VII when it first came out, right?
I never played it myself. I watched a friend play basically the whole thing.
Well, but you know, like the boss battles would be like some would be pretty epic with like really crazy music and really cool spell effects and all that stuff. Like, you get a lot of that in this, but at the same time, it's also because it's like a real time kind of beat 'em up thing. Some of the boss battles are just like, all right, well, I'm just like mashing my sword at the ass end of this robot. You know, with like the camera half clipped into the wall, and it just—I don't know—it's just not as good, I think, as
The cool thing
the
in Final Fantasy VII was the crazy like boss intros, and then like the crazy like summons that would take like 30 seconds to like deploy, and there'd be a huge cinematic thing that happens or whatever. I always liked that.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It seems like the game's selling really well, so I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I almost bought Octopath Traveler because it was half off for the first time ever to celebrate its anniversary or something.
Oh man, that
Was
game's
30
worth the full price. Like that is seriously, absolutely fucking outstanding.
I'm just so done buying Switch games for right now. Unless it's something I really, really, really want. Like, I'll buy Streets of Rage 4 when it comes out in a couple weeks. But other than that, I am going to try really hard to work through my backlog because I keep buying these stupid games on sale. And like, it's dumb because even for the last like week or two, there's been some really good sales on things where it's like, oh crap, like Toe Jam & Earl is like $3 right now. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, instead of it was only 15 to begin with, so it's not even like it was that expensive. But I go to go buy it and I'm just like, I don't even want to buy this right now. I know I'm not going to play it right now. You know what I mean? And by the time I do want to play it, it'll probably have been this cheap or cheaper or whatever. So I'm trying to just really put the foot down on buying new Switch games for right now.
I don't know. I'm kind of in the same way. I used to buy a lot of stuff on sale. Now, like, the only stuff I jump on is like the there was one Jackbox game, Drawful, that was just like a penny, and I was like, oh, well, of course I'll spend a penny on this. Like, but yeah, I
And
don't
then
know.
I'm playing Animal Crossing still, obviously, but also it's kind of wearing on me. I don't know. I've seen a
Really?
few people say the same thing where they're like, they feel like they've hit like the free-to-play game fatigue with it. And I've felt kind of similarly too, where I feel like, oh crap, I haven't fired up Animal Crossing today. I need to hurry up and do that so I can go collect all my fossils and blah, blah, blah. You know, like I feel like an urgency. And almost like it's like a chore because maybe I'm not in the mood to play a game, but I just feel like I have to because I don't want to miss a day or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten to the point where I just like fiddle around in Animal Crossing for about a half hour over the course of the day, maybe like see what's in my shops, like you know, see if I can get any free shit for my villagers, dig up my fossils.
Yeah. Mostly, I just want to hurry up and get to the point where I can just move everything around and design my entire island as I want it. And, like, that's what I want from this game. But I'm kind of still bogged down in trying to do some progression stuff. Although my house is finally maxed out. But,
yeah. Did you do any of the turnip shenanigans, or did you grind your house?
No, I did some. Yeah, I did some. The last couple of weeks, I did some big turnip buys. And did use the turnip exchange. Have you used that yet?
Yeah, I'm in a Discord that's really similar, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it worked out okay. I made like 2 or 3 million each time, something like that.
You didn't pay some idiot for access to their island, did you?
No. The funny thing is that turnip exchange has gotten so popular now. Well, it's a double-edged sword because also the wait times are like ridiculous now. But there's so many people doing it that you can usually find something that's like, I don't even want a tip, I don't care, here's my code, queue up, whatever. So as long as you're not like going to something that's on like the very front page of it or something, I've ended up finding some pretty easy people to visit, and it makes me want to turn around and, you know, days like today where I haven't even played the game yet, just leave it on and let people come if I'm having a good sell rate or whatever, pay it forward.
Yeah, I haven't been lucky enough to get a good turnip buy price at all in my town, or
either
have anything really that interesting.
It's crazy that some people have like 600 or 700 bells for turnips, and I'm like, how does it get that high?
Yeah,
mine's been like 125, I think was the max I was at.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it'll be interesting to see like what it sounds like. Nintendo has a pretty ambitious like event and update schedule for the game, so I don't know. It could be pretty evergreen, I guess.
Yeah. I have seen people too. It's always like amazing to me when a game gets that popular and has like community aspects built into it to see like what people can figure out or whatever. But there's people that use the patterning, the custom pattern stuff, to like create their own QR codes to like their PayPal or whatever, or like WhatsApp payment system or whatever. And so you'll visit their island and they'll sell you like their custom designs or furniture or whatever.
No fucking way.
And you'll actually have to scan their QR code through the game and pay them first, real money. And I'm like, I feel like Nintendo would not be okay with that.
You saw that on like Turnip Exchange, or where did you see that?
No. Somebody tweeted about it, I saw. But yeah, people like set up their own QR codes on the ground right outside the airport, so you have to pay before they'll even let you in, which just seems crazy to me. Like, who's paying real money for stuff like that? I'm sure someone is.
Jeez, yeah, that's wild.
It'd be like the people that we met that made all that money in Second Life.
Oh yeah,
or whatever. Like, what if you became a millionaire selling Animal Crossing goods?
Yeah, that's crazy, huh? Well, I learn something new every day, I guess.
Yeah, you can spend your weekend looking into that, and next week you'll be the real life Tom Nook of Animal Crossing.
I'd rather not. I have enough rabbit holes in my life. Most recently, I've been so living in Tennessee. There's a lot of things that would be very handy if I had a pickup truck. Yeah. Like, it'd be cool to have like a couple of shitty kayaks and like take them down to the lake and like just stuff that's hard to do just with a car, right? So I've been like. First, I was like, oh, I'll just buy a cheap, shitty pickup truck. And I was like, yeah, man, like, I don't want to buy like a $5,000 car and then have like $5,000 car problems. You know, like, oh, you need a new set of tires. It's $1,000. Oh, your transmission is fucked. That's $2,000. Yeah, right. Like, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just like buy a, you know, semi-recent truck. Mm-hmm. But like trucks, like good trucks retain their value so much. It's insane. Like, there's not a lot of savings. Between like buying a used truck versus just buying a new truck sometimes, which is really weird. So I was like, all right, well, you know, I don't know, like maybe I'll noodle around on the idea of buying a new truck or whatever. So I got to contact all these dealerships, and it's just like, fucking like buying a new car is such a scam. Yeah. It's truly unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, like I over the last week, I've just been like so turned off the whole thing. I was just like, you know, fuck it. I don't even care anymore. I want one.
Yeah.
Because like you negotiate with these guys and they like seem like they're giving you a good price and like good price on your trade in and everything. Right. And they like send you off to the finance guy and it's like, well, you know, we have a $1,200 delivery fee. We have a mandated dealer fee of $800 that you know, for document processing. Oh, and that car had fabric protection on it, so that's another $1,500.
Right.
Yeah. By the time they're done, it's like, all right, well, this is more expensive than just like the fucking like price of the car. There's no deal to be had here anymore. Like,
yeah.
So why fucking jerk me around and make it think like, oh, all right, yeah, let me talk to my managers. I don't know if we can do this price, and then it all just like comes out.
He never does this, but he said he'll give you free Scotch guard protection.
It's like I don't know. I was just like so over it that it was it's kind of crazy how I went from like, oh yeah, you know what? I could see myself buying a new truck. That's probably fine. I haven't had a new car in like 10 years. Sure. To like, just so over it is like, I don't even want to think about it.
You should try one of those, like buy a car through the app services and they deliver it in a truck or whatever.
Carvana. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm kind of just over it.
Yeah. The time will come. You'll be driving along the road and there'll be one parked with a for sale sign and it'll just sing to you. It'll be the one.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Problem is, my Prius doesn't cost me any money. Like, the only money I've ever needed to put in that car is like oil changes and tires.
Right.
So it's like, how do you fuck that up?
Yeah.
So, well, we should probably talk about iPhone games at some point.
Yeah. I plucked a couple of stories from last week too, just to kind of stay caught up or whatever. We've talked about this before on the podcast, but the Butterscotch Shenanigans guys, their new game Levelhead finally has a release date, and it's actually up for pre-order right now if you want to pre-order it, because you're the pre-ordering type. It's coming out April 30th, I think.
Isn't this simultaneously launching on everything?
Yeah, everything except PS4, I think. But I think it's Switch, Xbox, desktop, Android, and iOS.
Is it not coming to PS4, or just not launching at the same time?
I don't know if it's going to come to it at all, or if it's just coming later. I don't actually know. But that is a lot of platforms to launch on. It'll actually be part of Game Pass, too. So if you're super into Game Pass and you plan on playing this on Xbox, you can just get it there, too. Otherwise, it's the iOS version, $7. Premium, no in-app stuff, which I feel like is pretty crazy for a game that's heavily built around like community level building.
Yeah.
Usually those games try to go free first, but kind of cool they're doing it just paid straight up, and we'll see what happens. It's been in early access launch for over a year on Steam, and it's done super well over there. So I think it'll end up being all right for them. But yeah, we've played this a bunch of times at shows and stuff like that. It's super fun.
Yeah, this seems like one of those games where like, dude, just release it already. Like, it felt like it was ready to go like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they liked the early access period because it got a lot of people into it and creating levels, and there's like a staggering amount of levels when it's going to, you know, officially launch, which I think is always good too. Instead of trying to wait for people to make more content, it's already going to have a shit ton of content and a bunch of like creators that have like a good reputation and things like that. They really put a lot of work into how the created levels get like rated and how they get shown to you, and you can follow certain creators and reward them with in-game stuff and all this sort of things to like give people a reason to want to like create good levels, which I think is cool.
Part of me wonders, and the Butterscotch guys are really smart, so it wouldn't surprise me if this is how it's done, but like I wonder if the value in Levelhead isn't necessarily like the game itself, but them being able to like sell their back-end toolkit as like something other developers can use in their games.
Maybe it could be. I mean,
because like that Butterscotch ID system is like so fucking rich and full featured and everything else that like, I mean, think about if you wanted to build like a you know, a unified account system with like easy code sharing for like levels created or like user generated content or whatever, like how much of a massive undertaking that would be versus like, if you could just pay, you know, some reasonable license fee from these dudes and just like buy their tech off them to just include in your game instead of spending like 6 months building it. Like, I feel like that'd be the easiest decision to make if you were making,
I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up doing something like that. They were really smart to years ago, heavily invest in creating their own backend system that they've used now in other games. And it's all worked super cross-platform and stuff like that. Like, I thought that was a really prescient thing to go after.
Oh, yeah.
And spend time on.
Yeah, so. I mean, like, a lot of developers kind of fucked that up for themselves, like back in the day, because like we're running into this a lot with Game Club, where it's like, we'll update a game that had, you know, like millions of downloads, you know, and it's like, okay, cool. Like, how do we notify all the people that like this game that it's back and they can play for free and it's updated and everything else? Like, do you have an email list or anything? Or, and everyone's like, no, I wouldn't think of that. Like, we just had like a Twitter account or whatever.
I know.
So like the power of having like a way to contact all the people that are interested in your game is like extremely, I don't know, just extremely powerful. And it's like a really cool thing that they realize that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause like, God, like I just can't even imagine like how many people would be playing the new Flick Fishing update we did. If like those guys had like a mailing list of even like 20% of the people that played the original, you know,
right.
I'm sure it'd be insane.
Yeah.
It just doesn't exist. So,
I don't know. That's a crazy problem.
Yeah.
Well, they ended up doing it pretty smart. So, excited for this one to launch April 30th. Actually, the end of the month is looking real packed for a lot of different releases. So, if you want to pre-order Levelhead, you can do it right now. $7. What a deal.
Are they doing another thing where it's $15 on other platforms and $7 on mobile, or?
I think so. I think it'll be a different price on the other platforms, except for Game Pass. Obviously, it'll be part of Game Pass. But let's see. Yeah, it's $20 on Steam right now, even the early access version. So I don't know. Makes sense. Worked for them with Crashlands. So
I don't know how these guys manage. With a team of three people, manage this level of like cross-platform launching, you know, like developers that have, you know, exponentially more employees seem like they can't even pull that shit off.
Well, I do believe that they are now six people. So
still, like, regardless, like, that's not much different. It doesn't make, even just thinking of like the dealing with like support requests off multiple platforms.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. Just, I don't know. Mind boggling, I guess.
It is. I agree. So. Rock stars, those guys.
Yep, the Butterscotch and guys, favorite of mine. So
yeah,
check out Levelhead.
We had talked about this previously, but Company of Heroes, which launched on iPad not too long ago, we all guessed it's probably going to come to iPhone, like all the other Feral Interactive games that launched on the iPad first. Eventually, do come to iPhone, and they made it official this week or last week, I think. By actually announcing that it'll be coming to iPhone and also coming to Android sometime this year. No real time frame other than that. But once again, Feral is kind of the masters of making a game that seems like it would never work on a tiny screen and make it work on a tiny screen. Should be no different.
At this point, I don't know why they aren't just like, oh, yeah, we're launching on iPad and it'll come to iPhone in, you know, 3 or 4 months or something like that.
Yeah,
like every time around, it's like there's this whole like coy, like, I don't know, it's just launching on iPad. Like, we'd love to have it on iPhone, but who knows? So, who knows what's going to happen?
Everyone, including us, posts about that news. So maybe they aren't wanting to change up their news cycle.
It's just so funny. It's like they have like a wacky Mad Lib press release to send out.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a new game. It's iPad only. I don't know. It might come to mobile sometime. It might be an iPhone game. I don't know.
We'll see if you can get the applause meter to a certain height. We'll do it.
if 10,000 people sign this online petition.
But that's pretty cool. Company of Heroes is a not old, but a relatively new ish kind of full blown PC real time strategy game, which there's not a whole lot of on mobile. So,
I mean, like, honestly, I would say if you're the kind of person that like, it is always like, oh, you know, I hate mobile games. They're for babies. Like, I want to play like real games.
Yeah.
You could probably just go to the Feral account on
the
App Store and just download everything that they have.
Just get everything. Yeah.
For real. While you're at it, get like Civ 6 and FTL and you're more than good.
And then eat those words of yours.
Yes. And then apologize to the internet about how you were wrong.
So Company of Heroes iPhone version coming this year. I'm sure we will report on if there's a date or not, which I'm sure there will be soon. This was interesting. So last week, or this past week, I should say, Invisigun Reloaded actually launched for mobile, but then had to get pulled, and it has since not shown back up again as of this recording. But I had no idea this was coming to mobile. It actually launched on, well, it launched on Steam like over a year ago, I want to say, and then came to Switch. I don't know, like last fall, I think. It's kind of like a cool idea. It's a top-down shooter, which doesn't sound all that exciting, especially on Switch, where there's just like top-down shooters coming out of everyone's ears. But its whole gimmick is that everyone, including yourself, is invisible. And so you're all running around this map, and the only way you can tell where people are is if they fire their gun. But there's also these like environmental cues. So like if you're moving through the bushes will sway or whatever. Or you're walking through a puddle, you'll like see the footsteps. And so it's kind of like makes it's an interesting enough wrinkle to make the top-down shooter actually feel kind of like fresh and new, because you can't see the other players and you can't even see yourself, and you have to kind of be hyper aware of what you're doing, where you're moving, what you're moving through, but also watching for where everyone else is. It also gives you a lot of opportunities for playing like some stealthy games where you can maybe just sit tight and wait for someone to kind of like reveal themselves and then you can shoot them up. Cool stuff like that. So really neat idea. Seems like something that should work just fine on mobile. Apparently they launched it and I think there's 10 heroes total in the game, one of them which is exclusive and brand new to the mobile version. But the way they're launching is they're going to there will be two heroes with the version of the game that you buy right off the bat, and then the other ones will be available as in-app purchases for $1 a piece. Seems fair. And then, so apparently there was a problem with the in-app purchase stuff not working with the version that they launched. So as far as we know, they are fixing that and going to re-release it, hopefully as soon as it's ready. But this has been going on several days now that this showed up. So who knows how long it'll be, but kind of cool to know that this game is coming to mobile. I think it will be a nice place to play it.
Yeah, no, that's
You
cool.
can play
It's always
it.
neat seeing like a cool, fresh concept like this. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds
I
me of
have.
like, I feel like I've played shooters before that have like invisible power-ups where you can kind of like see like a shimmer of where someone is. I can't think of those. I know I've played several games that do that, but I can't think of them off the top of my head, and I'm a fucking idiot, so.
But yeah, it's a $20 game on other platforms, so kind of cool. You can play it even cheaper on mobile. We'll obviously post when it actually fully comes out again, all fixed up. So everyone's still obviously stuck at home, unless you're on Florida beaches, by the way, which are opening up today. Did
Oh,
you
Texas is opening soon too. I don't know if
What
you
is?
heard. Texas, the state of Texas,
Oh,
is
well,
back
I
online.
wish everyone well, and I hope that goes okay for everyone.
Fuck, it's gonna go
But
fucking insane.
if you're stuck at home still, Niantic is continuing to add new things to Pokemon Go so that you can continue kind of playing it from home. This latest thing is called, they added something called a remote raid pass, which allow you to do raid battles from the nearby screen from wherever you are. So you can still get your raid on, even if you're stuck at home and you're still playing Pokemon Go devoutly. So that's cool. I don't know. It's nice that they're kind of trying to think of things to keep people interested in these, hey, go outside and interact with other humans, but now you can't, so please keep playing our game.
Yeah.
Kind of cool to see them trying to do stuff like that. So I don't know. Someday maybe we'll all be back to playing our Pokemon Go like regular.
Maybe. We'll see.
But for now, I guess you can keep playing from home, which is kind of cool. So,
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what their numbers look like,
yeah.
without people being able to like go out and stuff. Because I'm sure that like I don't know, I would think that a lot of the players would be like, "Oh, well, I can't go outside, so I can't play Pokemon Go." And not even be like checking in on like whether or not they added something to the game or whatever else, like I'd just like fall off a cliff.
Yeah, I know. That's what I would think too, but I don't know, who knows. But anyway, moving on. Developer Rockbite Games, who you may know from a game they released back in 2017 called Deep Town, which was actually a really well-made idle mining game, really, which is just a really good progression loop. It actually got super popular and has a really big fan base. And that's allowed them to work on their next game, which they have been doing for kind of since that release, really, the past couple of years at least, called Sand Ship, where you are driving around on this big mobile factory, and basically you're like creating a factory to create different products for people that you run across. The world has gone to shit, and so you're kind of like trying to help rebuild the world by, you know, offering the things that people need that you come across and stuff like that. If you've played a Steam game called Factorio, this takes heavy cues from Factorio. And in a lot of ways is kind of a mobile take on that. But anyway, it's been highly anticipated from everyone that's known about this game. We actually posted about it maybe a few months ago, something like that, just because they had finally said it was getting close to releasing. And so this week they've actually put it up for pre-order, and it has a expected release date of May 7th. So it is actually coming quite soon. It'll be free to play like their other Deep Town game, which isn't really surprising, but I think they did free to play right with that one. And I think this one will be good to go too. So you can pre-order it on the iOS App Store. Or you can do the pre-register thing on Google Play. And actually, if you're on Android, it is soft launched in New Zealand on Android. So you can actually play it right now if you want. Cool. Yeah. But I've been excited for this one ever since I learned about it. I think it looks really cool. So May 7th is the day. Pre-order now for Sand Ship.
Here's a quick tip for you. The Game Club stuff's actually soft launched in Albania on Android.
Oh, really?
Which makes me wonder, like, how many things are soft launched in Albania? Because that's the first thing on the list. You go to select where you want to launch your shit. Yeah.
That's funny.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me if that was like a hot place. Like, if you wanted to like follow like the new Android releases.
Yeah.
If Albania is not just like absolutely popping off because of that.
Is that like how everybody's birthday is January 1st? Because that's like the first thing select on the birthday selector. That's interesting. I don't have an Albanian App Store account, but I haven't actually made an iTunes account for another region in a long time. But I've heard that it's like not the same as it used to be. And I don't even know how possible it is. I have like 10 iTunes accounts in different places for all the soft launch games and stuff. So like I'm usually pretty covered with the Philippines or Singapore or New Zealand, Australia, all those. But like, if I had to make one now, I'm not even sure that I could.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw some people complaining that you couldn't anymore.
Yeah, I think that Apple might have changed things so that you have to actually be in that area to do it or something.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I don't know. It seems like stuff doesn't like soft launch the same way it used to anymore. Like that used to be like a really big deal, and now I don't.
Yeah,
doesn't seem to be. I don't know.
Not as big, I don't think. Yeah, but or people just don't do it and don't talk about it like they used to too.
Yeah. It also might be a thing where there's just like so much shit to play that no one's like, oh, I gotta play the new thing the second it comes out in New Zealand and everything else.
Yeah, people used to really comb those regions for new games that weren't out yet.
Yeah.
To be able to play them early and stuff, which it's kind of cool, but yeah, I don't think it's quite like it used to be.
Yeah.
But anyway, Dead by Daylight Mobile finally launched worldwide on both iOS and Android. This has been in the works for quite some time, and it's the mobile version of Dead by Daylight, obviously, which is a really popular console and PC game, one of those asymmetrical multiplayer games where basically it's like one of you plays as various types of murderers, and the other three are survivors trying to get away.
It's kind of like the Jason, the Friday the 13th game, right?
Yeah, like, it is. Yeah, exactly like that.
So, but is this one still like the original one, right? Or,
good question. I'm not actually sure who came up with that whole concept first. I think there was stuff like this in like Left 4 Dead way before anything else. But, this game has actually done a bunch of crossover stuff with, different horror movies and horror properties and stuff like that, having guest star killers and things like that, which has been really popular. But anyway, yeah, it's finally out worldwide on mobile. Haven't checked it out myself yet, but I feel like, you know, if you can play third person shooters, first person shooters, that type of thing on mobile, then you should be okay playing this. Worth checking out. It's free. Interestingly, this was made by, I always get it confused. It's NetEase or Netmarble or Tencent. It's one of
One,
those. It's one of
the big
those
three, made by
Chinese
one of the big
companies that I
three.
always get confused who's who. But I think it's NetEase, actually, now I think about it. But they made Identity V a few years ago on mobile, which was the same idea, but with totally different characters and stuff like that, a whole different like style. But it was that same sort of like asymmetrical gameplay, and it became super popular. And everyone was like, "Oh man, it's like a Dead by Daylight ripoff," but it's actually like got more players on mobile than the real version does on other platforms. They should bring the real thing to mobile, blah blah blah. Well, it turns out that like Behavior Interactive, who makes Dead by Daylight, actually worked with NetEase to make Identity V as almost like a mobile version of Dead by Daylight, probably not realizing how popular it would actually be. And so NetEase is actually the people who made this legit version of it too. So they have the honor of having made the clone and the real thing, which I think is kind of like a weird, interesting thing that could only happen in the world of mobile games. So anyway, kind of cool, but worth checking out if you like these types of games. Dead by Daylight Mobile, iOS or Android, check it out. Seems pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I'm stoked for that.
Going back to talking about a Switch game coming to mobile, here's another one for you. Dual stick shooter Juicy Realm is actually coming to the App Store. They actually announced this last week and then announced that there would be a discounted pre-order available. And I think they maybe didn't know that it takes time for even a pre-order to be approved by Apple, because the link wasn't ready at the time they said that it should be. But then this week the link became live, so you can actually now download it or pre-order it on the App Store for $1.99 instead of its regular $2.99 price. So if you're dying to save a dollar, this is your chance. Other than that, though, seems like a cool dual stick shooter. I think its main hook is that all the enemies are like these mutated like fruits and vegetables or whatever. So it's got this real splattery sort of colorful kind of, not so much kid friendly, but kind of look to it or
Yeah,
whatever.
this game is cool. I don't know, it seems neat. I thought that dual stick shooters on mobile have been good since like the days of Minigore, right? And it just seems like they
It
always
just
work well and everything else.
Yeah, I it's kind of funny because I remember when this launched on Switch, Sean did a little, I think it was a mini review of it for the Switch Arcade, and wasn't bowled over by it. It was like it's perfectly fine, but also it's like in the world of a billion dual stick shooters on Switch, it's hard to be like find anything that makes this one stand out above the rest or anything like that. Though it's perfectly fine or whatever. Actually, so I feel like a game like this might actually do better as a mobile game. Not that there's a lack of dual stick shooters here either, but I think that games that have this sort of like level of quality to them are more rare on mobile. So when you're getting like a console like effort on a mobile game, I think that goes a lot further. So anyway, I don't know. I think it looks cool. I've never played it on Switch, so I'll play the mobile one instead for $2.
Yeah, no,
But
for sure.
anyway, comes out on May 4th, so pre-order it now if you'd like. Save that dollar. This was a cool story. There's a puzzler called Persephone that launched in the fall of 2018 and kind of flew under the radar for the time. There was people in the
Isn't it Persephone?
is it Persephone? I've been saying Persephone, but I think Persephone sounds much cooler and righter. So Persephone is launched in the fall of 2018, kind of flew under the radar, but the people that did notice it in our forums had nothing but great things to say about it. I think I actually speculated in this story that one of the reasons maybe it didn't get a whole lot of buzz was that it looked like Monument Valley, kind of, because it's one of those isometric platformer puzzlers. And I feel like you get a certain amount of fatigue of like Monument Valley-like games. Like you see a game that looks even sort of like it, and you're like, but this game is definitely not like Monument Valley. It's much different than that. It's much closer to something like a block pushing puzzler or something. But it has a really cool story. Actually, Persephone is, comes from Greek mythology. It is the daughter of Zeus and Demeter. Am I pronouncing things right?
I don't know.
Zeus.
No, it's Zeus, definitely Zeus.
And so, kind of cool that it's like rooted in some actual mythology. Basically, she gets lured into Hades by, or lured into hell by Hades, and ends up becoming the queen of the underworld. And so this story sort of follows that loosely. And then it actually, since it launched, it got an expansion for Demeter, who is her mother and then Zeus's wife. So you can follow her exploits as she travels down into hell. And then this week, they actually launched the final content update for the game. And so it's now content complete, according to the people that made the game, which actually has a Hades campaign that you can play through too. So that's kind of cool. This I went to download this again and had obviously bought it at some point because it was like the re-download cloud thing in the App Store or whatever. But it didn't ring a bell to me. And then I started playing it and was like, this is awesome. This is a really fun game. The puzzles are really clever to figure out. Kind of like its main hook is that you're meant to die in order to solve some of the puzzles.
Oh,
And so
interesting.
an example of that would be like there's a spike pit that you can't cross. So what you do is you actually fling yourself into the spike pit and then you respawn and your newly spawned self can actually walk across the pit now because you can walk across your old dead
Oh,
body.
that's like that game, Sometimes You Die. Remember
Yes,
that
I
one?
actually mentioned that in this
Yeah.
story, where you do very similar things. You die over and over to build up, to fill in a pit that you could then cross or whatever. So that's the kind of idea in how to solve the different puzzles in the game, of which there are 100. And some of them are super tricky. So yeah, if you like puzzlers, can't really recommend this one enough. I really, really liked what I've played of it so far. It's $4, and the content updates that they've released with the new campaigns and stuff have all been released for free. So you're getting the whole shebang now for $4, which is pretty good, over 100 levels. So really enjoyed it though. Really like the art style and just the game concept behind it. I thought was really good. So Persephone, is that what you said it was? Persephone, check it
Yeah,
out.
I'm pretty sure that's
Spelled
how.
like Persephone.
Spelled like Persephone. Jesus Christ.
You never realize that you're pronouncing something wrong until you have to say it out
Well, that just means that you read a lot, in my opinion. If you
loud.
don't know how to pronounce things,
I guess I'm not up on my Greek mythology,
that's
so.
fine. Whatever.
So this is something I just posted about today. Martin Magni, who is a developer who made, probably most famously, he made Mechorama, which was like a funnily enough, it was kind of a Monument Valley-ish
Yeah.
puzzler, where you could spin the level around and you're moving a little dude through these kind of 3D voxel landscapes, trying to get him to the exit or whatever. A good game on its own, but kind of the standout feature of it was it was really easy to create levels, and then he had this really ingenious kind of QR code creation thing for sharing them, and so. And built right into the game, you could like tweet out your levels and stuff like that. And so I remember, and the game did a really good job of keeping track of the ones, the created levels that you had downloaded too, kind of keeping them in their own little section, just like they were regular levels in the game. And so I remember when this game came out, like searching through Twitter and finding everywhere I could where people had like created levels or like in the forums or whatever, anywhere people had posted their QR codes for levels. I was grabbing them and downloading them and saving them and playing through them later. And I thought it was just like such a cool thing to make like that so easy compared to, I don't know, say things like Mario Maker, where it's like a 12-digit code or, whatever, where it's just like you can just easily share this little QR code that gets read by the game instantly and just pops the levels into your game just like that. It was super cool. So anyway, Mechorama actually launched in 2017. I think, and actually maybe 2016. And since then, pretty much, he's been working on a new game called Fancade. And It's not really a secret, although I wasn't really aware of it until he actually reached out to us talking about it. But basically, it's kind of along the same lines of Mechorama, except that instead of just creating these 3D platforming levels, it's a full-blown like game engine that you can create a whole variety of different types of mini games in. So you can, control where the physics go. You can control what the angle of the game will be, if it's a top-down or a side view or isometric or whatever.
Yeah, that's
You
cool.
can import different like graphics if you want, like voxel graphics or 3D or flat pixel art things or whatever. It's basically a mini, super user-friendly game development engine inside this app. And then he has a similar sort of really easy sharing system for everyone's created games. And so basically, that's why it's called Fancade. It's the games are largely created by the fans themselves, which I think is really cool. But anyway, this has been in the works for a few years, and it's been in beta for a super long time. And so, kind of like Levelhead, there's a lot of content already made for this game, even though it's not even out yet, because it's built up a really strong community of people that are really interested in it and have really figured out how to make really cool games and stuff
This
like
kind of
that.
reminds me of what was it? 2D. Okay, give me a second. It's really on the tip of my tongue. The Sandbox, right? Remember that?
Oh, kind of.
Or
Yeah.
Sandbox something or other. It's like kind of like a just like a 2D kind of. I thought it started as like a God simulator, but then they added like all sorts of like different shit you could build and create and stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, no, it is kind of similar to that. Yeah, I forgot about the sandbox. Same sort of thing, yeah. But the variety of things you can make in this is actually pretty incredible. And so the way it works is that there's actually a mode called the quest mode, and that would be kind of like the main campaign, I guess, for single player. And it's filled with levels that the developer himself has made, and it kind of shows a variety of the game types you can make in the game editor or whatever. And so one section of levels is kind of like a snake-ish sort of game, and then another set of levels is like a side-scrolling physics driving game, and just different things like that. And that part of the game, if that was just the game, and that has I think 1,000 levels, if that was the whole game, like it would be good already. Like I've been playing through an early version, and it's super fun. Like everything is nice and simple. Everything feels really good, and it's just like a perfect collection of really good mobile games. And then so you can play through all that single player stuff, and be content for a good long time making your way through 1,000 levels. And then there's an arcade section, which is where all the community made stuff goes. And it's like, any other game really, you can sort them by what's new or what's featured, or you can sort by different genres or whatever. And because this game's been in beta so long, like I said, there's tons of stuff to dig through. Some you can tell are obviously a lot better than others. But there's sort of a there's a play count, and then there's like a like system, so you can see what gets a lot of likes, and you can see how many times something has been played, and you can kind of use those factors to determine what's actually good and what's not. But it's also just cool to see. It's pretty obvious that there's people that aren't, game developers making stuff on their own. And even if some of their stuff is kind of like crude, it's still really interesting to see them put that out there for someone like me to find and play. I think that's really
Yeah,
like an
no, that's
interesting
neat.
thing. And then finally, there's a whole section in the game that's dedicated just to building levels. And then you can actually download other people's stuff, and if they've made them editable, you can edit it yourself. So you can actually like see a cool game concept that someone else did, but think you can do it better or add on to it somehow, and you can edit it and add your own spin and release it as your own thing or whatever. Basically, endless amount of content for something like this, and it's already got a strong community behind it, which is really cool. So this finally does have a release date, though, after I think originally going to launch it in 2017 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, it's coming out on April 30th. That's the day I said is starting to become a heavy day for releases. April 30th, and it'll be free. It'll have ads. And then I think there will be both a way to disable the ads, and then I think he's also going to run a subscription system in this for the people that are heavy into the creation stuff. But I don't think it'll be, if you're not trying to subscribe to a game, I don't think it'll be a big deal to just pay to remove ads or whatever. But
Yeah.
anyway, super cool game, super playable. Really just impressed that this is kind of like one dude can create this sort of thing from scratch. I haven't diddled around with that level or the game creation stuff yet, because it is kind of complicated. I mean, you got to, there's a lot of tutorial videos I link to in our story here if you want to check out more about it. But it's a lot of stuff to do with like scripting, and you got to understand some basic coding principles before you can actually just make something that's not quite drag and drop. But I can see really getting into it and learning it and just making cool stuff all the time too. But I can also just see ignoring all that and just playing what everyone else makes. So really excited about this one. I really like what I've played of it so far. So one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then my final story of the day is this dumb company called Game Club did this stupid thing.
I'm full of idiots.
Stupid idiot Game Club. So Aerlon, I feel like if you've been in the mobile gaming world for a while, that's a pretty important title. If you go back in the history of mobile gaming, it was Crescent Moon's second big RPG. They kind of got put on the map with their first ever release, which was Ravensword. That was in late 2009, and that kind of blew everyone's head because it was a big open world RPG that had its drawbacks. It was definitely simplified, definitely kind of linear, not quite, as open of a world as you'd get on like a console or PC game, obviously. But given the time that it released, 2009, I mean, the App Store had only been around a little over a year. For somebody, especially a tiny team, to be able to make this kind of big, wide open RPG like Ravensward was really, really impressive. But people did complain about, there wasn't a lot of character customization. There wasn't a lot of character progression systems. There wasn't multiple classes. There wasn't a whole lot in the way of loot or weapons, things like that. So it was really streamlined in a lot of ways, and it was more of an action adventure game than like a full RPG, which was still good for what it was. But I think there's still a lot of people that were wanting something more. The following year, they released Aerlon Sword and Shadow, and that kind of like answered all of those wants that people had been asking for from Ravensword: multiple classes, multiple races to choose from, some character customization, skill trees, mounts so you could ride horses and dragons and stuff,
Yeah, like fishing,
magic
crafting
spells, tons
system.
of weapons. Crafting, yeah, like you could join guilds. I mean, it was like surprisingly deep and very much like a lighter version of like a Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah.
And so just to release something like that just a year later really kind of blew everyone away. This was still early times for the App Store, and really there wasn't anything quite like this out there, especially a mobile original game. So yeah, Aerlon was really a defining game for mobile when it released,
What's
and it's still a
interesting,
really good game today.
yeah, what's interesting is that like people don't really like the sequel, and I don't
Yeah.
really remember why. I just like I was looking it up on iTunes. They're like, oh wow, this has like a really bad rating.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if I remember right, the sequel, maybe I'm confusing it with the sequel to Ravensword, but I feel like there was like a lot of, it was missing sort of like a spark of life or whatever that I feel like the original had a little bit more of. So I don't know. I still feel like they were both follow-ups were really good games, but sometimes there's something that you just can't replace about an original too, especially for the time that it came out, because the Aerlon sequel didn't come out until like 2016 or something. And so by that time, maybe something that was just slightly better wasn't quite as impressive as it was, 5 years before or
Yeah.
whatever. But regardless, Aerlon was a super good game for the time that it came out, and it's still a good game. But like any game that's that old, had kind of fallen into disrepair, was definitely in some need of some updating. And so that's where Game Club came in. You guys swooped in, fixed it up real nice. I hadn't played this in a while, so it's hard to tell, but it looks extra good. Like, it definitely has higher res textures or something like that. It's sharper. Maybe like the lighting and shadowing is better. It's hard to really tell from my memory.
With this, like, the game actually, like, as it was back in the day, it was like a kind of toned down in a way with like draw distance and all that sort of stuff. But like now with modern devices, you can just basically slide all those sliders to the left. And
yeah, that makes sense.
You know, so that's it kind of like looks better out of the box because it was toned down in a way to make it run on older devices, which is kind of cool. I mean, it's like when you install an older, like an old PC game you used to really like on like your new computer, and it's like, oh shit, this, I can run this at absolute max settings now. This looks so much better.
Yeah, right.
Is basically like what's happening. So
yeah, so firing this game up again because I hadn't played it in years is certainly a treat. It's definitely kind of shocking how good it still looks for a 10-year-old game, and kind of excited to dive in and play it again. This was actually, I reviewed the original, if I remember right, and
it came out on like Christmas or something like that, right?
Yeah,
something.
It was like deep in December, and was one of the bigger games I reviewed. I was still pretty new at TetraKade at that time, hadn't even been around a year, and I remember feeling like, holy shit, this is a big ass game to play through and try to write a review for. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed it back in the day, and then I've played through it again once or twice since then. And so kind of excited to do that again now that it's updated, looking spiffy, got all the full screen support, all that good stuff. And it's still a really impressive game for a mobile RPG, even in 2020, I would say. And then I had to mention in our story about this, the way that this game came about has always really fascinated me and been one of my favorite stories that we've talked about ever. Because this originally started out as a game by a company called Galoobith Games, which was just two dudes. And then
The main guy of Galoobith is the person that voiced over the original trailer too.
Oh, really? That's really interesting. So, they had wanted to create like, a really robust RPG engine, featuring all those things that we were just talking about that people wanted from Ravensword, like all the customization and character progression and all that good stuff. So they were really good coders and did create a whole robust engine and started creating this 3D RPG out of it called Aerolon. They were not great artists, though. And so the early versions of the game had these really basic textures everywhere, really blocky character models and not the greatest animations and stuff like that. And the way I put it, and I feel like this is nails it on the head, is that it looked like an early N64 game, which is totally true. It was like that really basic repeating pattern of like grass or like cliff edge or, you know, whatever. And these really blocky characters or whatever. Not that that sort of thing doesn't have its own charm, because I think that it does. But when Crescent Moon saw this project, they got in contact with those guys and were like, hey, look, you have a really promising game engine. Let me help you redo the art, and I'm going to enlist this guy that actually has worked on Elder Scrolls games before, to do the art for you. And we're going to make this thing look as good as the engine plays, you know what I mean? And so we can have something that's really impressive and special. And they're like, cool. And so that's what they did, and the end result was the Aerolon that we got in late 2010. And really, we posted a couple times. One story, and I link both of them in this thing I posted today, but one of them was just side-by-side screenshots. And it's so fun to go back. I love the before and after stuff. And this one is a really good one, because like I said, it looked like an N64 game, and then you see the after shots, and you're like, damn, that looks like a Xbox 360 game or something, you know, like it's a definite upgrade from where it was. But the real kicker was the before and after trailers. And so I linked to that story too, where you can go back and you can look at the Aerolon's first real trailer, and then an early trailer for the previous version of Aerolon, which you said was one of the Galoobith guys actually did the voiceover for, which I think is really funny. But it's, like I said, not without its charm, but you look at it now and you're like, holy crap. Like, this dude climbing the ladder, it looks so bad.
Oh, yeah, like, extremely so bad.
Yeah, the grass is just like this bright green. And it's just like, the game would not have been anywhere near what it was if it had had that art style. You know what I mean? So Crescent Moon getting involved in doing what they did really worked to make something super special. And actually, I was thinking of this today, how fun it would be if you could go in and have like a mode where you turn on the original graphics, like an N64 version mode, and load up all the boring textures and stuff like that, and play classic mode of Aerolon. But I don't know, that might be a tall order for you Game Club people. Mm. But yeah, I just think it's so fun even now to go back and look at the two trailers back to back and be like, holy crap, I can't believe how far this thing's come. So anyway, Aerolon was super good 10 years ago and is still super good, and I'm excited to play through it again. I'm very happy you guys brought it back and fixed it up and gave it the love that it deserves, because it's definitely, in the history of mobile gaming, it's got a big spot in it. Probably still one of the biggest mobile original RPGs to ever release. So
yeah, no, that's why I picked it up. I fucking love this game, man. So,
yeah,
I don't know, really cool.
And as always, if you own this game before, you can get this update for free, whether you're a Game Club subscriber or not. Although you should subscribe to Game Club because it's good. Yeah. But it's nice that you guys do that, I think, too, for people that, if anything, just to bring awareness to Game Club, too, for somebody to be like, see on Reddit or see our story or see something mm-hmm. that about Aerolon getting updated and be like, what? And then be able to go on their history and be like, oh, shit,
yeah,
I can download this updated version. It's so awesome. So yeah, I think that goodwill goes a long way.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're going for, you know, like, because, you know, the problem is with that, it's like there's really no way that you could not do that, right? Because it's like,
yeah, right,
the amount of people that would be pissed would yeah. super not be worth like the few people that like reluctantly be like, all right, fine, like I just really want to play this again, like I'll buy it again, like whatever,
right, kind right.
of thing, you know. So but yeah.
Yeah, know. You're nice for doing that, but you also probably didn't really have an alternative.
Yeah. So you want to, did you see that Apple Arcade survey thing that went out this week? I didn't see a story on it.
I only
heard
that. I didn't see it myself.
It's, I don't know, kind of interesting that they're collecting info about what people think of Apple Arcade.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of stuff asking like what you like about the games, like what you want out of it and things like that, which I don't know. I don't know how to read the tea leaves there on that.
I don't know either, but I know that it's really hard to trust the opinion to read online about Apple Arcade or try to gauge how well it is or isn't doing, mm-hmm. Especially on like Reddit, because that was where I first saw about the survey was Reddit. And it's definitely disheartening seeing all those people talk about it, because I think, A, that there's a misconception where a lot of the comments were like, oh, I like the idea of Apple Arcade, but all the games, there's no games with depth. They're all just these crappy mobile games. And so why would I pay $5 a month for that? Which I feel like is just wrong. There is a lot of good in-depth games. And yes, there also is a lot of, you know, shallower mobile-y type mm-hmm. stuff, maybe arcade games or whatever. But there, the, you know, arguing against the quality of games on offer for Apple Arcade, I feel like is, I don't think you can argue it. I think it's objectively a very awesome lineup of games and very worth at least a few months of subscribing to it, right? You know, yeah. to play through the games that grab your interest or whatever. It's like everyone throws out Oceanhorn 2 as like the only game that has any depth in that whole catalog, and I don't think that's true at all.
I actually would say that like Oceanhorn 2, as a good game as it is like one of the shallower games. And
yeah, yeah, no, I agree. And then a lot of the games, I think, aren't necessarily shallow, but I think there's a lot of short ones. And so there's a game that you would be in like an afternoon or whatever. It was a good experience, but it was only a few hours.
I think that's fine. Like, I don't know. Like,
I think that's fine too, especially for a subscription service. You might be pissed at a 3-hour game if you spent $20 on it or something. But if it's for something that you're paying monthly for anyway, along with all this other stuff,
yeah,
then I don't really care that the games are short. I like a short game.
Yeah, honestly, it's just been really strange, like, watching the reaction to that kind of stuff just in general. Because, like, if you compare it to, you know, like Netflix or Hulu or something like that, it's not like when you watch a movie on Netflix, you're like, oh, I can't believe that was only 2 hours long. That's such bullshit. Yeah, no, versus, like, you know, a 10-episode series or whatever. It's just like, oh, yeah, cool, right. I pay for this thing. I get access to all the stuff on it. Like, this was a neat yeah. thing. And yeah. I enjoyed it, so I'm going to move on to the next neat thing and hope I like right. that. And
yeah,
you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. It's the perception is really weird. And then, so amidst a lot of negative comments that were harping on things like that, there's the occasional person that's like, I love Applicate. It's only $5 a month, and I have to worry about any bullshit in-game purchase stuff, any free-to-play stuff. I have kids, and we can all share this, and I just know that they have more than their fill of games to play, and I don't have to worry about a single one of them. They can just play whatever. It's all, family-friendly stuff and no accidental buying, in-game coins and crap like that. And like for $5 a month, that's worth the peace of mind as a parent. And so I feel like that's a huge base of the people that are buying Apple Arcade and still paying for it, probably falls into that category. That's like, dude, I can keep my kids occupied on their iPads or whatever and not have to worry about it. That's well worth the $5 a month. So yeah, I don't know. It's weird to see, especially somewhere like Reddit, which is kind of like the hardcore gamer group, still kind of reject something like this that I feel like if you gave it a real chance, is a nice option for even a hardcore gamer
Yeah, I mean,
because
but
it's such a mixed
you
stuff.
can't look at any like a special interest niche group as like representative of what like the whole wants. Like we saw with the Touch Arcade forums, you could point out like any hyper interested thing, like whether it's the fucking Tacoma World forums for trucks or whatever. Like those guys are not representative of the typical person that's just like, oh yeah, I just want a Toyota pickup. Okay, cool.
Yeah, right.
You know,
No,
like
that's
that's.
true. So yeah, it is interesting though because you don't see Apple send out surveys for a lot of their services or products or anything, at least that I know of. So you do kind of wonder what they're up to there. And then it's also disheartening. I mean, we've talked a lot about how we didn't really agree with their launch strategy of fire hosing out 80 plus games and then trickling out one or two, maybe like a month since then. I feel like the hype wagon was in full swing for Apple Arcade, and then it just kind of died based on that, as opposed to launching with like 30 really good games and then a steady stream of awesome stuff tent-poled with like some bigger releases once a month or something like that, and try to really like drag that thing out for a year plus. I just still think that their launch strategy was really weird, because people probably skip over a lot of things because they feel overwhelmed with that amount of choice right off the bat. So I don't know. It could be. And then I've also heard just through the grapevine that a lot of the people that were on the Apple Arcade project are now moving on to different things, and the team that was in place to get everything going and get all that buzz going isn't there as it once was. And so that worries me too, because we've talked a lot about Apple potentially just like forgetting about this after a year and then just ending it at unceremoniously at some point or whatever. Or just, having it be whatever it is and just having it lumped into their services package or whatever, and not really giving it love and attention that they were eager to talk about having in the build up to launching the Apple Arcade and how it was changing games, and all these developers in their videos talking about how Apple was amazing and getting behind these developers and the creation of these awesome games and stuff like that. It just really is sad to kind of see all that stuff fall flat. And so maybe they're thinking of ways to kind of reinvigorate that enthusiasm. I don't know. Either
Yeah,
way,
we'll see.
if I was in charge of all that, I would have done it launch a lot differently, I think.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird, but well, we'll see what happens. I don't know.
I still think Apple Arcade's a great service, worth the money. Still a lot of good games on it. There still are new ones coming out. There's two released this week, which is weird. I don't think they've done that before. So there's lots of good stuff to play there. And for $5 a month, you really can't beat it for how many good games there are. So kind of crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
Anyway, my voice hurting is telling me that we're probably hitting the limit of this podcast. So time to drive her off the overpass. The school bus full of children.
oh no, the empty school bus because kids aren't in school.
Oh, thank God it was empty. Yeah,
It's
you're
gonna be
right.
driven off the cliff.
It was just the driver that died. No big deal.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. Touch Arcade is primarily supported through our readers and our listeners and our viewers. So if you like what we do, want to see us continue doing it, please consider checking out patreon.com/touch arcade. And throw a little support our way. It keeps us going. It's the main source that keeps us going. Also, you can do your Amazon shopping while you're huddled in your homes through toucharcade.com/Amazon. And that affiliate link, even though Amazon is preparing to slash that heartily, does help us out. So the more
Are
people
they
that
really
use it, the...
gnassasha? That sucks.
I read something offhand about it. I haven't looked into it too deeply, but yeah, I think they're
That's
about
gonna be
to.
bad. I know a lot of friends of mine that I made in like the when I was kind of like I don't know like in the world of trying to figure out like online e-commerce and stuff like make their living off of Amazon affiliate stuff. So.
Get ready for the rapture of that happening.
Jeez.
So we'll see what happens. But for now, TouchArcade.com/Amazon is where you should be doing all your Amazon shopping. It helps us out a lot. And with that, thanks again for listening to this week's episode. And we will be back with a brand new episode for you of the Touch Arcade Show next week.
All right, see ya.